All right, well, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Daniel chapter 4. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 4 this morning, verses 19 through 27. Daniel chapter 4, verses 19 through 27. Well, it may be that after church today, you and your family are planning on going into town to grab dinner. However, the plans that we think that we may have, that we may have thought that we've put into motion, may be prevented in different various ways. On our way into town, we may get a flat tire. We may get sick, or some out of the ordinary situation may occur that will demand our time and attention. And there really are many different things that are out of our control, that prevent us from doing what we planned on doing. But in the midst of that fact, we are fallible and limited. God is infinite, and His ways are not our ways. And He determines, when He determines to do something, we can rest on this simple truth that He will bring it to pass, and that no one has the ability to restrict Him of that power. So this morning, we're going to dive into Daniel chapter 4. We're going to pick it back up in our study in Daniel chapter 4, verses 19 through 27. And as you're there, I want to do just a little bit of a review for us. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been in the study. King Nebuchadnezzar in this chapter began in our last lesson to describe a situation that happened to him with a dream that he had been given. And there was this dream was a dream that kind of resembles a little bit of what we would see in chapter 2 with that dream. But what we are going to find from King Nebuchadnezzar here in chapter 4 was that King Nebuchadnezzar was fearful. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 5, I'd like us just to look at that verse for a moment. It says here, "I saw a dream, and it made me fearful. In these fantasies as I lay on my bed and the visions of my mind kept alarming me." This dream that King Nebuchadnezzar has in chapter 4 made him fearful, whereas the dream in chapter 2 left him troubled. And so King Nebuchadnezzar wants to find out what this dream means. And so he brings Daniel into his presence. Of course, in this chapter, in chapter 4, unlike chapter 2, he's not going to have Daniel recite to him this dream. Instead, he's going to listen intently to Daniel's interpretation of this dream that he has. So we're actually going to read just a little bit before the passage that we'll be in today. I'd like us to begin our time in verse 10. And what we're going to do is, in verses 10 through 18, we're just going to review ourselves in this dream that King Nebuchadnezzar has. This will just be a bit of a review, but we're going to be refreshed as to what this dream looked like that King Nebuchadnezzar has, and then we will see the interpretation of it. So let's look at verse 10. It says, "Now these were the visions in my mind." King Nebuchadnezzar is speaking. He says, "In my mind, as I lay on my bed, I was looking, and behold, there was a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew large and became strong, and its height reached to the sky, and it was visible to the end of the whole earth. Its foliage was beautiful and its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it, and the birds of the sky dwelt in its branches, and all living creatures fed themselves from it. I was looking in the visions of my mind as I lay on my bed, and behold, an angelic watcher, a holy one, descended from heaven. He shouted out and spoke as follows, 'Chop down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its foliage and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts flee from under it and the birds from its branches, yet leave the stump with its roots in the ground, but with a band of iron and bronze around it in the new grass of the field, and let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him share with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let a beast's mind be given to him. And let 7 periods of time pass over him.' This sentence is by the decree of the angelic watchers, and the decision is a command of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind. and bestows it on whomever he wishes, and sets over it the lowliest of men. This is the dream which I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belshazzar, tell me its interpretation, inasmuch as none of the wise men of my kingdom is able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for a spirit of the holy gods is in you. All right, now we pick it up in verse 19 for our section of scripture this morning. Then Daniel, whose name is Belshazzar, was appalled for a while as his thoughts alarmed him. The king responded and said, Belshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation alarm you. Belshazzar replied, my lord, if only the dream applied to those who hate you and its interpretation to your adversaries. The tree that you saw, which became large and grew strong, whose height reached to the sky and was visible to all the earth, and whose foliage was beautiful and its fruit abundant, and in which was food for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, in whose branches the birds of the sky lodged. It is you, O king, for you have become great and grown strong, and your majesty has become great and reached to the sky, and your dominion to the end of the earth. In that the king saw an angelic watcher, a holy one, descending from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it. Yet leave the stump with its roots in the ground, but with a band of iron and bronze around it in the new grass of the field. And let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him share with the beasts of the field until 7 periods of time pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that you be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place be with the beasts of the field, and you be given grass to eat like cattle, and be drenched with the dew of heaven, and 7 periods of time will pass over you until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes. And in that it was commanded to leave the stump and the roots of the tree, your kingdom will be assured to you after you recognize that it is heaven that rules. Therefore, O king, may my advice be pleasing to you. Break away now from your sins by doing righteousness, and from your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, in case there may be a prolonging of your prosperity. All right, so as we look in this passage today, I believe that there's a very important truth here for us from the Word of God, and it is this, that God wants his people to take comfort. God wants his people to take comfort in knowing that he is absolutely sovereign over the political powers on earth and over the personal affairs of man. In your notes, you'll see that. God wants his people to take comfort in knowing that he is absolutely sovereign over the political powers on earth and over the personal affairs of man. So as we open up here in chapter 4, this feels very similar to chapter 2. I would say it feels very similar. King Nebuchadnezzar has this dream. He's unable to interpret it. So Daniel is brought forth to help the king to interpret this dream, to help him to understand it. And just a little bit of a recap from chapter 2. We remember in previous lessons that King Nebuchadnezzar dreamt of a great statue in chapter 2. The statue represented Gentile world powers that would come into play after Babylon's reign. These political powers were hostile to God's people, the Israelites, and with the reconstruction of Rome in the future, that hostility would only increase until the coming of Jesus' literal earthly future reign on this earth. So in a sense, the dream in chapter 2 illustrated the domination of Jesus' earthly reign over the Gentile nations. We saw that in chapter 2, but the dream here in chapter 4 illustrates the domination of King Nebuchadnezzar's pride over his kingdom by God. And so to summarize, the dream in chapter 2 is a national dream. We're looking at nations that are going to follow Babylon. It was a national dream in chapter 2, whereas this dream that King Nebuchadnezzar has here in chapter 4 was very personal. It was a very personal dream. So in our time together, we're going to see that there are three key points. There are three key points within this dream that pertain directly to King Nebuchadnezzar. Again, keep in mind that this dream came to Nebuchadnezzar at a time in his life when he really rejected the thought that God was the one who had blessed him, that God was the one who had given him the blessings that he had, the accomplishments that he had. And at this time in his life, in chapter 4, he wasn't dependent upon God. King Nebuchadnezzar wasn't depending upon him. In fact, God was very far from him in his thinking and in his believing. That's sort of the spiritual condition of King Nebuchadnezzar as he would have this dream here in chapter 4. So the king told Daniel his dream. Look with me at Daniel's response in verse 19. It says here in verse 19, then Daniel, whose name is Belshazzar, was appalled for a while as his thoughts alarmed him. He was appalled by this dream that he had. That word for appalled carries this idea that Daniel may have been startled by this dream, that it may have actually caused him to shudder at the thought of what this dream meant for King Nebuchadnezzar. I remember Katie and I, when we were in Arizona, walking into the house, and Katie was on the chair with Emily at the time, just a baby then. Hard to believe, and there was a big black spider on the chair right next to Katie and the baby. And this was in Arizona, where the spiders aren't small. And by my facial expression, something indicated to Katie that I was fearful for her. And she noticed that, and she got right up, and I told her there was a spider. We killed it. But that spider caused us to shudder. And as the king relays the dream to Daniel here, that's kind of the picture that we see here. Daniel's listening to this dream. He hears it. He's taking it in. And by his reaction, by Daniel's reaction, King Nebuchadnezzar is able to recognize that he is appalled by this. And we note that by the king's response. He tells Daniel, he responds with these words, Belshazzar, or Daniel, do not let the dream or its interpretation alarm you. King Nebuchadnezzar says that back to him. So here we are. So here are Daniel's comforting words to the king. He says, my lord, if only this dream would apply to those who hate you and its interpretation to your adversaries. All right, that was a comforting thought. But Daniel says, what Daniel says here is not going to be good news for King Nebuchadnezzar, but here it is. Daniel is going to explain this dream, and he's going to give three key points within this dream that pertain directly to King Nebuchadnezzar. So this dream that King Nebuchadnezzar has is a dream that concerns himself. And Daniel is going to bring out three key points in how it is that this dream relates to him as the king. So we're going to see those three key points this morning. The first key point is that King Nebuchadnezzar is the object of the dream. We want to note that in verses 20 through 22, that King Nebuchadnezzar is the object of the dream. We know this to be the case from the description of the tree in verses 20 through 21, which leads us to Daniel's interpretation for that tree. He gives that interpretation literally. He tells the king very directly, this tree represents you, O king. And what we know when we look at that tree are some characteristics that we find in the scripture. There are a couple of characteristics of this tree. This was a tree that became very large. It was a tree that was strong. This was a tree that whose height could reach up into the sky. And it was a tree that was visible to all peoples on earth. So what we could infer about this tree as it relates to King Nebuchadnezzar was that King Nebuchadnezzar was a man of power, of prominence, of prosperity, and popularity. And so this was a majestic kingdom. The Babylonian kingdom was majestic to look at. And for King Nebuchadnezzar to see it, I believe that it didn't take much for pride to swell up within his heart. To the point where he would believe that he was the one who had all the power and control on the earth stage. That's where he goes in his thinking. So Daniel continues in verse 21, look with me there, describing this tree, and whose foliage was beautiful and its fruit abundant. and in which was food for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and whose branches the birds of the sky lodge. I want us to notice the influence of this tree, that this tree has over all living creatures on the earth, how it was able to sustain them by what it produced. Notice with me verse 22. This is where he reveals to King Nebuchadnezzar that this tree is him. In verse 22, he says, "In whose it is you, O king, for you have become great and grown strong." So this isn't a mystery. Daniel very clearly explains this is the king. And your majesty has become great and has reached the sky, and your dominion to the end of the earth. This was a powerful king. This was a powerful kingdom that King Nebuchadnezzar had been granted. Wearsby reflected on God's sovereignty as he wrote the following. Wearsby, I love this note that Warren Wearsby made. He says this: "With the help of the Most High and by his decree, Nebuchadnezzar had built a vast empire that sheltered many nations and peoples. He ruled a great kingdom, a strong kingdom, and a kingdom whose dominion reached to the end of the earth." Then he continues on, Warren Wearsby continues on with that thought. He continues on with the problem of Nebuchadnezzar and stating this, that the king was taking credit for these achievements, and we'll see that in our next lesson. But he would begin to take credit for these achievements, and he was in great danger because his heart was becoming proud. The king had learned from the first dream that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and no earthly throne was secure. The Babylonian kingdom would one day end, and God would raise up another kingdom to take its place. In the episode of the fiery furnace, Nebuchadnezzar had witnessed the miracle of the preservation of the three faithful Hebrew men, and he had decreed that nobody speak against their great God, and we saw that in chapter 3, verse 29. Warren Wearsby continued, "But now Nebuchadnezzar was about to meet this Most High God and receive severe discipline from his hand." All right, so that brings us to the second point, the second key point concerning King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and that was this, that Nebuchadnezzar is humbled within the dream. And we see that in verses 23 through 25. He is humbled within the dream. I'm sure that for the king, this was very terrifying, as he would go on to consider what was said of this tree in verses 23 through 25. Let's look at that, verses 23 through 25. Daniel explains to the king, "In that the king saw an angelic watcher, a holy one, descending from heaven and saying, 'Chop down the tree and destroy it. Let leave the stump with its roots in the ground, but with a band of iron and bronze around it in the new grass of the field, and let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him share with the beasts of the field until seven periods of time pass over him.' This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High which has come upon my lord the king." Now, before I read any further, I'd like to take us back to that very important biblical truth that we see here, and that is that God wants his people to take comfort in knowing that he is absolutely sovereign over the political powers on earth and over the personal affairs of man. What we are going to see take place for King Nebuchadnezzar was something that was ordained by God. God allowed this to happen. It did not slip through his fingers. God was completely in control. Verse 25, it says this, "And that you be driven," he's telling the king this, "you are going to be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place will be with the beasts of the field, and you will be given grass to eat like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven, until seven periods of time will pass over you, until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes." So because of his pride, King Nebuchadnezzar will be brought low. He'll have his pride utterly stripped of him in every single way imaginable. He's going to, in effect, lose his sanity. And what's interesting to note is that this is an actual medical condition. There's an actual medical term for this condition. They call it clinical lycanthropy. One dictionary of medicine defined lycanthropy this way: it's a form of insanity in which a man imagines himself as an animal and acts like one. Now, one thing is for certain, I think, for King Nebuchadnezzar, this would be very humiliating to have to go through. Pastor David Thompson stated it this way, that God is the one who controls the time of humiliation and the time of exaltation. So you may be asking yourself today, how long does humiliation last? And the answer would be until we learn the lessons that God wants us to learn. I think what we're going to see in our next lesson is the reality that this really gives us a vibrant picture of what pride can do in one's life if it's left unchecked. And it is true that men and women are made in the image of God, but when they leave God out of their lives and resist His will, they can descend to that to the level of an animal, whatever that would be, whether mentally or ethically. Both alternatives should keep us in pursuit of the Word of God. So at the onset of this scenario, I personally feel some pity for this man who would go through this, and that this word from Daniel would be brought to him in this way. But Daniel even says in verse 19, he says, if only the dream applied to those who hate you. So what the king will personally go through will break him and it will mold him. But let's keep in mind that it's all for a purpose. These things will come into play in his life so that he will come to a place where he recognizes that God is ultimately in control. And at the end of this, God will be glorified and the king is going to have a proper understanding of God. He's going to have a proper understanding of God. And this is, I think, a miracle. This proud, egotistical, pagan king will eventually proclaim to the world that God is sovereign, that He is the one who's in control. That's amazing. It's an amazing response that we see here in chapter 4 concerning King Nebuchadnezzar. Many, many years earlier in Judah, there was a king by the name of Asa who started out well, and he didn't end so well, but he was approached by Hanani in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. I'm reminded of these words which convey to us great truth concerning our God today. He said this, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his." And in King Nebuchadnezzar's case, he would have to be broken first. He'd have to be stripped of his sanity and dignity until he would have to acknowledge the simple fact that God is the one who is ultimately in control over all the earth. So that brings us to the third key point. And that is that Nebuchadnezzar is restored near the end of the dream. And we see that in verse 26. He is restored near the end of the dream. Verse 26 says, "And in that it was commanded to leave the stump within the roots of the tree, your kingdom will be assured to you after you recognize that it is heaven that rules." So this stump with its roots remained, which meant that King Nebuchadnezzar would be given back his ability to reign over the people of Babylon. And Daniel proclaimed to the king that his kingdom would be assured to him. This means that even though the kingdom would go through this dark, dark period of time, it would eventually be restored and he would be able to rule over Babylon once again. Now, as Daniel gives the king this interpretation, he doesn't doubt that it will happen. He knows that it's going to take place. Daniel knows that God has planned for this to happen. This is going to take place for the king. He understands that. And what's interesting about this situation is that the kingdom will be given back to the king after he recognizes the sovereignty of God. I think it's interesting that God is going to give King Nebuchadnezzar back the kingdom after he recognizes the sovereignty of God, not before he recognizes it. So Daniel knows that this is going to take place, and as it does, his kingdom will not be given back to him until he recognizes that God is in control. So Daniel's final word for the king here is found in verse 27. And Daniel encourages him here. He says, "Therefore, in light of what this dream means for you, king, therefore, O king, may my advice be pleasing to you. Break away now from your sins by doing righteousness, and from your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, in case there may be a prolonging of your prosperity." So Daniel encourages him to be involved in acts of righteousness, which would indicate that he has a heart that is submissive to God. But the human heart is deceptive, right? We'll jump into our next lesson a little bit here. All this happened to Nebuchadnezzar, verse 28, the king, 12 months later. The human heart is deceptive. King Nebuchadnezzar, eventually, we're going to see in our next lesson, he's going to forget about this dream. He's going to forget about God in this interpretation that Daniel has for him. And he's going to begin to look at that kingdom, believing it to be his own, that he was the one who had established it for himself. So in conclusion this morning, I want to just pull out a few things here. We're reminded of this very important truth that God wants his people to take comfort in knowing that he is absolutely sovereign over the political powers on earth and over the personal affairs of man. God is the one who allows a nation to rise. He's the one who will allow nations to fall. He's also the one who allows us to go through seasons of trials and testing in order that we might be refined in the process. And my hope is that none of us would have to go through a situation like what King Nebuchadnezzar had to go through. But my prayer is this, that when those trials come into our lives, that God would allow those trials to come in, that as a result of those trials and difficulties, we may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. There's one other thing I want to point out here. You think about this dream. This was not a nice dream for the king. And Daniel had to go before King Nebuchadnezzar, trusting that God had given the king this dream. And he had to go before the king and tell him what this dream meant. I think that this was a very courageous thing. I believe that Daniel is a man who is trusting in this and is resting in the fact that God is sovereign. He is a little bit hesitant to share with the king what this dream means, but he goes through with it anyway. He still shares with the king what this dream is, what this dream means for him. And I think that that took a lot of courage on Daniel's part. So we have a wonderful example of a man here, Daniel, who is resting in the Lord and resting in the fact that he is sovereign. He ultimately had to rest in knowing that God had given the king this dream. And he's given me this ability to interpret what the meaning of this dream is, and he went through with it, and he did that, and the Lord blessed it. So may we, like Daniel, I think in parting this morning, we want to part with this thought, may we, like Daniel, take comfort in knowing that God is in complete control over the political powers of this world, as we've seen in chapter 2, but also over the personal affairs of man, as we see here in chapter 4. He's completely in control. He's in control over the political powers and the personal affairs of man around us. And so may we be people who would resolve to speak biblical truth to those around us, even if it might feel a little uncomfortable or intimidating. All right, let's close in a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this study in Daniel. I want to thank you for using Daniel in this tremendous way to be able to relay the interpretation of this dream to the king. And Father, we are just blessed by his courage in that he would go through with that. I pray that that would just spur us on to trust you in deeper ways in the week to come. I want to thank you for that. We want to thank you, Father, for your love towards us. We thank you for Jesus, who came to this earth, died, resurrected again, and that by believing in him, we have tremendous hope. Father, we give you praise this morning now. In your name we pray. Amen.